You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, in today's world, people tend to conclude that things happen either by random chance or sometimes they say by luck. Is that what you think? Is that how you think things go about in this life? According to the Bible, thus according to God's holy word, God has pulled back the curtain in order to reveal his grand plan for all time and for all eternity. Think about it like this. Even before God created, he knew all that was to come. He knew about the fall into sin. He knew he would promise to send his son. He knew that Jesus would come and do a finished work. And even he knew everything about you and me. He knew we would be here tonight. He knew about all of our sins and everything. Let's think for a few moments here about how much we are blessed. First of all, we hunger. So what does God do? He gives us food. In wintertime, it's cold here in Ohio, so God blesses us with warm clothes. We need a place to sleep, so God provides us with shelter, sometimes with very nice homes. We need love, so God gives us family and friends who love us. We have places to go, like gathering here tonight, so God gives us cars. We need order, so God establishes nations. In fact, the Bible says that with every nation that has been established, God has established them, and the ones that exist today, God is continuing to sustain them. We need protection. So what does God do? He has given us our armed forces. Especially, above all things, we need the forgiveness of our sins, so God has given us his only Son. We need guidance, so God gave us his holy word. As we go through life, we so oftentimes come to decisions. Should we go to the right? Should we go to the left? God has given us much in his word to guide us in our lives. Since God has done all of that and so much more, let us better understand tonight and let us marvel at God's grand plan in order to eternally save us through the babe born in Bethlehem. Tonight, I have a 9-part sermon, and let me work through here very quickly. You can follow the parts right in your service folder. Part 1 is on Adam and Eve. Let's understand that right after the first sin, in fact, on the very day of the first sin, that is when came the first promise of the Savior. With that promise, it indicated that a future descendant of the woman would be that Savior. But at this point, though, that was wide open, so it could have been any son born to any woman. And then we jump ahead about 2,000 years. We come to part 2. That would be the time of Abraham. So thinking about that time, that is when God narrowed down his grand plan. So God said to Abram, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In other words, God was saying to him, one of your descendants will be the promised Savior. And then we move on to Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah. So God said to Isaac, one of your descendants will be the Christ. And then Isaac was blessed with two boys, Esau and Jacob, and God said to Jacob, one of your descendants will be the Christ. And then God blessed Jacob with 12 sons. One of them was named Judah. And God said, it will be through your son Judah. That will be the line through whom I will send my son. And now, going on to part 5 in this sermon, we come to what I'm calling the Ruth connection. This sermon is part 4 of what I'm calling the Bethlehem series. Parts 2 and 3 focused on the book of Ruth, which took place during the time of the judges and also before the time of the kings. God was at work way back at that time. Now keep in mind, we're talking over 3,000 years ago. God was at work in order to work out everything in order to have his son come through a descendant of Judah. So with the book of Ruth, that takes place in Bethlehem. So it begins in Bethlehem, it's in Moab for a while, then it goes back to Bethlehem. But the connections that we see here, we see that Boaz, who was in Bethlehem, he ends up being the great-grandfather of David. He's blessed with a son named Obed. Obed is the grandfather of David. And then Obed has a son named Jesse. He is the father of David. So all of this is pointing to David, and David is a descendant of Judah. Part 6 of tonight's sermon, we see that David was from Bethlehem, and we shouldn't be surprised because for generations, his family had lived in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us that David was a son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse. The Bible also tells us that David was anointed king by Samuel in Bethlehem. Now, jumping ahead about 400 more years, we come to the famous Micah prophecy. So up to this point now, in God's grand plan, we know the family line through whom the Christ will come, but we don't know much more up until this prophecy. So with this Micah prophecy, it is now telling us the location where this child, where this son will be born. The prophecy says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." As we think about the Christ, he was a king. He was the king of the Jews. We could even say he was the king of the universe. And his coming forth is from of old. In other words, the Son of God is from even before creation. He was first promised to Adam and Eve. And here it's telling us that same one is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now we jump ahead another 700 years. So now we are at the time of Christ. Now we are at what the Bible calls the fullness of time. Now God is going to take action in order to bring Mary, who is pregnant with the Son of God, he's going to take action in order to bring her to the location prophesied for the Son of God to be born. Now we go to Luke chapter 2, we find ourselves in the Christmas story, and the Bible says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered," and we might say why, the reason was for the purposes of taxation. So in those days, thinking about that time, Mary, she was very far along in her pregnancy, and then the decree went out. Now, under almost any other circumstances, Mary would have said, "I'm too far along. The trip is 100 miles. I can't make it. I'm not going." However, here, though, when Caesar Augustus says, "Go," then you go. So she went. What was going on there? That was God's way of getting the mother of his son to the proper location in order to fulfill the prophecy. And then the Bible says, "This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria." What does that mean that this was the first registration? Lenski, a Lutheran Bible commentary, put it this way. He noted that first means not that other enrollments followed, but that nothing of the kind had ever been decreed in the past. Think about that. It's not like having a census taken every 10 years and counting the people. We're talking about something that, as far as we know from history, this had never happened before. And yet, right at the precise time, God moved Caesar Augustus to issue the order, again, in order to get Mary to the right location to fulfill the prophecy. God is in control. We're talking here about God's grand plan for Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Continuing in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." Thinking now about Joseph and Mary, both of them are descendants of David. Joseph is a descendant of David through his son Solomon. Mary is a descendant of David through his son Nathan. Again, thinking about the trip, very difficult, being far along in pregnancy, having to go over 100 miles, possibly on the back of a donkey, possibly by foot. But yet, what did God do? God was with Joseph and Mary. God sustained them. God brought them safely to the place so that his son could be born in Bethlehem. Finally, we come to part 9 of the sermon tonight, our final part, and I'm calling this our part in God's grand plan. Even though all of us have sinned, what is the good news? The good news is that God loves us. So what did God do? God made the way for everyone to be with him through Jesus. Think about it like this. God planned this giant party in heaven. He wants everybody to be there. So what did God do? God made the plans. God sent the invitations. God purchased the food. So now God is wondering about you and me. God is giving us the ability to come, but he's not going to force us to come. He wants us to come. He wants to draw us to his son, Jesus Christ. So the question tonight is, will you gladly come? Will you thankfully receive? Will you eternally benefit? God so desperately wants that for every single person. And then, maybe this is even more important, if you said yes, 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 here are 3 more questions, and then will you keep on coming? Will you keep on receiving? Will you keep on growing? Think how our bodies function. When we eat healthy and we exercise, our bodies can get feeling good fairly quickly. However, though, we know that if we have a straight diet of Christmas cookies and we do not exercise at all, we know our physical health can go downhill very quickly. Spiritual health is the same. So God is calling us. God is inviting us. God is even challenging us to open his word every day, to know that when we open it, it's important to come with an open mind, an open heart, to hear what God has to say. And God will bless us in understanding it. God will convict us of our sins. God will point us to Jesus Christ. God will assure us that we are forgiven. God will fill us with great joy. God will guide us in how we go through our lives then in Jesus Christ. It's not how we live that saves us. Our being saved is all about Jesus in who he is, the Son of God, and what he has done by living perfectly for us and also then sacrificing himself to take away our sins. That is salvation. But then knowing him, knowing that heaven is open for us, knowing we are blessed forever, then the joy of such things that moves us to want to know the will of God and to put it into practice in our lives, that's how we show him our thanks, that's how we give him our praise. May God show us how these things are so important, not just now, not just on Christmas Eve, but every day throughout the year. And may God so work in us that he keeps us in Jesus Christ all the way to the end. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you planned. Lord Jesus, you executed that plan. Holy Spirit, we pray even now that you would work through your holy word, the word of God the Father, in order to bring all who are lost to Jesus Christ, and then may you continue to work through that word in order to keep all people then in Christ, trusting in him, sorry for their sins, and rejoicing that in him they are forgiven. Grant us all a wonderful Christ-centered celebration of his glorious birth. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.